Good morning. Good morning, good morning. What a privilege. What a privilege. Thank you for the love. Thank you that you've shown to us, Lord God, our Father. Good morning. My name is Charles Tate. I'm known as Running for Christ as Deacon Charles Tate. Until my kids didn't know me, they called me Deacon Grumpy. That's a whole different story. But right now, we're going to be getting into 2 Corinthians chapter 6. But first thing we got to do is acknowledge our Father. Lord God, our Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Father, this is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And Father, we ask that whatever it is that comes out of my, I ask whatever it is that comes out of my mouth, Lord, come straight from you. Just move me out of the way, because you see, you know me. And you know that all I have is you. And I thank you for being all that I have. Father, once again, we just thank you and we praise you. And like the word says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to your sight right now, Lord. Amen. Okay, we're moving into Second Corinthians chapter 6. But before we go into 6, we have to go back to 5, because we have to remember that even though we have chapters and verses in our Bibles, this was a letter that was written. And in order to begin with 6, I got to go back to 5. Matter of fact, start at verse 18 in 5 and just read it. So it'll bring us up to where we start with 6. 2 Corinthians 5:18 reads as follows. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. Reconciling himself. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. He gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his special appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Now we're moving in what we call chapter 6. Verse 1 reads as follows. And as God's partners, we beg you not to accept this. We beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness and then ignore it. Not to accept as God's partners. First off, that word partners jumped out at me. And you know, in order to be a partner with someone, someone has to either approach you or you approach them as being a partner. You know, just keeping it plain. Somebody walk up to you and say, I want you to be my partner. Or you go to somebody and you say, you want to be their partner. And what that does, that gives you an option of saying yes or no. But when we stop and think about the fact, like we just read about how God chose us to bring reconciliation into the world, to reconcile his people back to him. That word I just said, God chose us. And that's all believers. That's all believers. He came to us and he said, look, I kind of want you to come to work for me and be my partner. Be a partner in my company. And usually when we become a partner in a company, we bring some things to the table. What we have to remember that the company has already been established. And when the owner comes to you and say, I want you to be a partner, that means he wants you to be a part of his team. You know, I can't help but think about the fact that, I'm just going to say it like this. This crossed my mind when I was reading this. I'm going to just tell you a little bit about me on the side. I like to cut grass, but I was thinking about the day. One day I was outside cutting grass, and I had a lawnmower. My little grandson was outside with me, and he had a little play lawnmower. And he was coming behind me as I was cutting. And I was far enough away, he wasn't in danger, but he was following behind me with his lawnmower. Now, it could have came up that I might get a little aggravated about this, and I got to be honest, for a minute I did. But then I thought about it, and I said, well, he's really just following the pattern that I've already set. And see, that's what we as believers have to do when we come into partnership with God. The plan has already been laid out. All we really have to do is follow suit. And the more we follow and the more we do, the better we'll get. And we just have to remember that. It's already been laid out. See, God really didn't need us for anything. When you think about the fact that he made us, and he made us in his own image, but he decided to incorporate us into his company. And I'm going to say that again. He decided to incorporate us into his company, not as slaves, not as we're workers for him, but not as, but just brought us in just like we was his own. I forget exactly where it is, but I know the word said that we have been, in Ephesians, we have been adopted into his family, and we are joint heirs in everything that Christ received. But he brought us in through Christ. Let's see. And then it talks about not ignoring God's conscience. That, to me, that would be absolutely foolishness, not ignoring the kindness that God gives us. And when we think about that kindness, we got to remember the word grace. See, grace is God's unmerited favor. It's something that we received that we really didn't deserve. And this is what Paul is trying to bring out to the people in Corinth. You got to come to understand that what you got, that what I've taught you, what I've brought to you, is a God-given thing. It's a God-given thing. And to trash it would be bad. See, Paul saw himself as a co-worker with Christ. And the ministry of reconciliation and being ambassadors is just what Christ did for us. If there was no Christ, and that's going into the next verse. Let's move on to verse 2. For God says, at just the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. When I was going through this, I kept going over the day of salvation, the day of salvation, the day of salvation, and wondering what that was. And then it came to me real plain, and I realized the day of salvation is not this day. This day. When Christ came into the world, he bought salvation for everybody. But today, this day, right now, I know that was written a long time ago, but this day, right now, not just for everybody that has a day start, they have to realize that that day is the day, if you haven't accepted Christ, is the day that you should. For those that are listening right now, if you haven't accepted Christ, this is the day that you should. And the reason that it talks about the day of salvation, what it means is that, you know, you might have today, but you might not have tomorrow. You didn't have yesterday. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow's not promised. So this is the day. This is the day of salvation. This is the day where you should come to the realization that you need the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and choose him now, because tomorrow might not come. You know, we as people and we as Christians, like we were just talking about a few minutes ago, we have to make sure, well, that's just simple as this. I just got to be me. That's our job, is to go out and tell others about Christ, to make, to do everything we can to bring them in. And that's all Paul was talking about to his people in Corinth. Somehow or another, they kind of got wrapped up in the false teachings. And it's real easy for somebody else to come in and throw you off your page. It takes for somebody else to bring just one more idea. And we all know that. Just one more little thing that gets our head to spinning. And we say, You know that thing we used to listen to say, things that make you go, We real easy for that. But when it comes down to Christ, when it comes down to our Father, when it comes down to Christianity, when it comes to salvation, there should be no whom. There is only one way. And like I said earlier, sometimes you only got that day. So we have to learn to take advantage of the position that we have. We have to learn to take advantage of the partnership that we have, and not advantage in the way of using it, but using it, yes, to the glory of God. Okay, now, verse 3, it says, we live in such a way that no one will stumble because of us. And no one will find fault with our ministry. You know, we, in these, in this life that we live, this Christian walk as we go on, we really have to be careful how we live in front of other people. And we really do. Because of the fact that you never know, like the old people used to say, you never know who's really watching. You never know who's really paying any attention. Promise you that somebody is always watching. Somebody is always making sure, checking you out, just simple as that. Somebody is always checking you out. You know, Paul was willing to do anything, anything to make sure that he wasn't offending the gospel. And he also had to be sure, because these were young Christians, he also had to be sure that he wasn't doing anything to offend them. Now, when I talk about offending, you know that as we go through, you know, sometimes like we, our language, our mannerisms, the way that we carry ourselves, just the way that we do things sometimes. We always got to remember, like we talked about earlier, I'm going back to that ambassadors. We represent the God of creation. And sometimes the only Jesus, matter of fact here, the only Jesus that people see is going to be the Jesus that they see in you. You remember how your parents used to tell you when you stepped out the door, especially when you was going on a field trip in class or something, don't you do anything to embarrass me. More than anything, we should be always able to say at the end of the day that we didn't do anything to embarrass our God, that we didn't do anything that might offend another believer, especially that we didn't do anything that might draw attention to ourselves and not draw attention to God. See, you got to be careful when you walk through these lives. We got to be real careful as to how we walk. You know, we look at our small children and our families, and it's with me with my grandchildren, and we're conscious of the things that we do around them. Always remember back again as to who we work for. And his eyes are always on us. He never sleeps, never slumbers. He sees everything and knows everything. But he wants to, we're his partners, we're his ambassadors. He wants us to walk a life in front of other people. And no, we won't be perfect, but we'll be, I think the word is circumspect. We'll walk, if we walk according to the way that he's laid out, you know, we will, when it talks about reconciling people, instead of pushing them away, we'll draw people to us. Verse 4 says, in everything we do, we show that we are true ministers of God. We patiently endure troubles and hardships and calamities of every kind. sometimes I don't know how Paul made it, but he did. See, we live in a world where everything is pretty gravy. It's pretty easy. But back then, things was tight. You know, This was the beginning of Christianity. And you had people that, you know, they was worshiping other gods. They had all kind of other agenda. They had some of everything going on, especially in Corinth. You get a chance, go back and read 1 Corinthians, and you'll find out that these people was, I just got to say it like, oh, these people was kind of whack. And at the same time, it was hard to pull away, just like it is for us sometimes, to pull away those things, pull away from those things that we shouldn't be doing and start what we're supposed to be doing, to let go of that and to grab hold to something else. And see, this something else, this Christianity, this God of all gods was new to them, see. And it was. So it's hard sometimes to turn loose the old and grab hold to the new. But Paul did this because, just sidebar, you remember that road to Damascus. Paul had a one-on-one with Jesus Christ himself. And he came to know Christ as he truly is. And see, that's the glory of us having our word. That's the glory, true glory of us having our word, is that we get to look into our word and we get to see, we have written knowledge of Christ himself. Those people didn't have that. They just had a hearsay knowledge of Christ. And we know what Christ is capable of doing, not just because of what he does in our lives on a daily basis, but also because of we have a written knowledge. And we have those that have gone on that have taught us, at least some of us do. At least I was blessed with that, to be raised in a Christian home, to be raised by Christian parents, and at the same time have a Christian grandmother and grandfather, great-grandmother and grandfather. I'm just going to say this. I come from a long line of Christians. But at the same time, it didn't stop me from stepping off of the road sometimes and having to be brought back. So you see, back in Corinthians' time, Paul was writing to them because they were just beginning what was going on. But when he talked about the things that he had to face, like we just read, when it said, when he said, everything we do show that we are true ministers of God. We patiently endure troubles and hardships and calamities of all kinds. Bottom line, we go to verse 5, it said, we have been beaten, been put in prison, faced angry mobs, worked to exhaustion, endured sleepless nights, and gone without food. Now, some of these things Paul happened with Paul, and Paul knew what he was getting into. He didn't expect it maybe to be that way, but he knew that this was the ground floor right here. This was the ground floor. The building had yet to go up. And when you're working on the ground floor level and you building something, you'll find out that you run into all kind of problems sometimes with the foundation, with the structure, with everything else. Paul was at the ground floor. So these people was coming after him these people was coming after him like crazy. Man, where you come with this when we've been working with this all this time, and for us it's been working for us. He was kind of convinced folks that this thing that I have, this Christ that I know, I've come to understand to be real. But it's not easy to change people's minds. It's not easy to make people think another way. And you know, in this world, when you go against something that somebody says, they get a little irritated. Well, these people were trying to kill him on a regular basis. First off, because of the economic growth that had happened, because of their wrongdoings. But basically because, man, I don't know who you think you are, but you're trying to come in and change our game. That's me. I just got to say it like that. I hope you understand what I'm saying. So we got to get rid of you. In other words, we really don't want to hear that. And he was beaten. He went without food. Angry mobs tried their best to kill him on a regular basis. But he says in verse 6, we work to exhaustion, endured sleepless nights, going without food. I'm sorry, that's verse 5. Verse 6 is, we prove ourselves by our purity, our understanding, our patience, our kindness, by the Holy Spirit within us, and by our sincere love. We prove ourselves by our sincere love. See, once you develop a relationship with Christ, no matter how bad your days go, at the end of the day, you can go to a quiet place. And when Paul just mentioned the Holy Spirit, our sidebar, you got to understand the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God himself, and he lives inside each and every believer. At the end of your day, no matter how tough it's been, you can go to your quiet place, and he'll comfort you. Now, when I was just thinking about Paul going through redo, you know, sometimes as believers, we get sidebarred, we get thrown off our path if, well, I'm going to just say this, if our fingernail breaks, you know, my car won't start, I got a bill that I can't pay, oh, Lord, I had my cookies in my cookie jar and somebody came and ate my cookies. You know, I hate to say this about us as believers nowadays, but anything that come at us or throw us off our page. And sometimes we just need to go back and read what Paul had to endure. Because the things that we complain about, things that we talk about, Lord, I can't make it, they are trivial. Do you realize there are Christians in some parts of the world that are still having to endure what Paul is going through right now just because of the fact that they say they believe in Christ? Y'all know about China. They'll kill you in China if you talk about a Bible. In other parts of the world, we in the United States have come to just get a little bit, I'm going to just say it, a little bit too relaxed, a little bit laxed about what we do. We got everything that we need. I'm going to just honestly say it. And if we got, matter of fact, we got more than we need. We got enough to give to somebody else to still have what we need. But the thing that we supposed to be given is that we called to be ambassadors. Remember, we called to be promises. And we got to remember that this, the day of salvation, we're called to be ambassadors. We're called to reconcile the people to Christ, to bring them back. Got to go back. I just had to go back to chapter 5, because we're called to be ambassadors. We're called to speak on the side, to tell people about Christ. That's what we're called to do. But now when we get back to Paul, he said, we faithfully preach. We faithfully preach the truth. God's power is working in us. We use the weapons of righteousness and the right hand for attack and the left hand for defense. We use the weapons of righteousness and the right hand for attack and the left hand for defense. Now, I'm going to share this with you. We got a song that my sister Janice, Minister Janice Tate, taught us. And matter of fact, I learned it at a place called Circle Y Ranch. And it goes something like this. I got my feet shod with the preparation of peace. I have the sword of the spirit and the shield of faith. I have my breastplate of righteousness, my helmet of salvation. I put on my armor and I'm ready for the battle. That's what I thought about when I read this. When he talked about we use the weapons of righteousness in the right hand for attack and the left hand for defense. When he said, I thought about the sword and the shield. Believer, your sword is your word. Your sword is your Bible. Everything that you need. It's in your word. in the right hand, I'm left-handed, so my sword going to be in my left hand. In my right hand, I got my shield. The shield is to fight off, to fend off the attack, just like a Roman soldier might use, to defend himself, to keep himself covered. But he used the sword for attack. And when I say attack, take your word. Take the word that God has given you as a Christian. And today, open that word. And I hope that God sends somebody to you so you can show them, so they can see for themselves. Study your word. Get your word inside of you so it's always in your hand. Keep your sword and your shield always with you, so that when times come, you'll be able to speak on what the word says. I just looked at the clock. Tell you what, we gonna cut it off right there for the day. And I hope what I said to you makes sense. All right. Kathy, you with me? I guess we're going to pray. Lord God, our Father, we thank you once again for this opportunity you've given you to speak your word, to go over your word. Lord, I just hope I made sense, and I really do. In Jesus' name we pray this morning. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Deacon Tate. You covered a lot of things, you know. I like what you said about your grandson copying you with the lawnmower. And if we don't show them anything, they won't know anything. So that was cool. I like that. Okay. All right, well, thank you.
Goodbye.
Thank you for the lesson. And we can't wait till next week to hear more. Appreciate you. Have a good day.
You too, dear. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you. All right. We're going to go into a song, and then I'll see you on the other side, right?
The outpouring of your spirit, till I can't take no more. I need you, Lord, right now. Build me up again. I cannot move on without you. Do like you did way back when. I need you, Lord, right now.
Amen. Amen. Fill me up again. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a great day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world to Runner for Christ Ministries Sunday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Sunday morning worship experience, brought to you by Runner for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Sunday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with scripture and prayer, and at Runner for Christ Ministries, we believe it's vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. You know, today is Youth Weekend and this week, Youth Sunday. And on the fifth Saturday and on Sunday, we give the youth the opportunity to serve and participate in our worship service. And we have this morning to do scripture and prayer is our very own beautiful Princess Alexandria Maynard. Good morning, Alexandria.
Good morning.
Good morning. Go ahead. Thank you.
I'm Alexandra Maynard, and I'll be reading for your hearing scripture, Romans 12:1-13. That's Romans 12:1-13. Here reads the word of God. It is titled, A Living Sacrifice to God. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn how to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me of you this warning, don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself. Measure yourself by the faith of God that has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with this Christ body. We are many parts of the one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate is what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take joy in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard. And serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be able to practice hospitality. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of this great and mighty word. Then let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks for this opportunity to once again offer up to you so much deserved praise and thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. We ask that you fill your body with the Holy Spirit, who will take part in this worship service. We ask that you hear and answer the prayers of faith that are lifted to you by your people in the service. Lord, we ask that you fill the sick and comfort the many be raised. We ask that you bless the preacher with the word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We ask that Jesus Christ be lifted in songs, prayers, and preached words, so that all of those who are lost will be found. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask these blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Alexandria. We appreciate you. Have a great day.
You're welcome. You do.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Train up a child. You know, if we don't let them participate and show them how to do this thing, then they won't know what to do. We got to lead them and give them a way to go. Love those young people. All right. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own Shepherd Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
G-I-G-I. I'm letting go of all that's behind me. I'm moving on to what lies before me. I'm available, please excuse me.
Moving on from what lies behind me, move it on to what's in front of me. And guess what? In front of you, heaven. Hey, man, I know you thought I was going to say a house, a car, some more clothes, somewhere else to go, something else to do. No, heaven is in front of you. Amen. But before we get to heaven, guess what? Jesus said we're going to have some trials and some tribulations. I tell you what to do with them. Isaac Kyrie wrote a song about it. He called it In the Middle of It. You want to hear it? Here it goes.
Hello? Am I on? Okay, go. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming tonight. I got a young man I wanted to introduce you to. We call him Ike Knight. Oh, yeah. I'm the music major.
Tears rolling down your face. With your heart feeling like it's gonna break. Your urn feels like it's about to shake. And you're taking all that you can take. Just remember where your help comes from. Realize it's got somewhere to run. What you can do, praise him anyway. Oh yeah, oh yeah. You should praise him anyway. Yeah, oh yeah.
Listen,
I'm just like you. If you cut me, I'll go bleed. Down as soon as I got on my feet. Lord, it was you that helped me understand. And it was you that never let go of my hand. I promise that I'll always give you praise. No matter what this world brings my way, I'll praise you anyway. Oh yeah, oh yeah. I'm gonna live for
does not inhabit the praise of depression. God does not inhabit the praise of stress. God does not inhabit the praise of complaints. God does not inhabit the praise of worry. But he does inhabit all of your praises. Amen? So if you're praising God in the middle of it, well, guess who's going to show up in the middle of it? You know, Peter was in the middle of it. He got out the boat, had enough faith to get out the boat and walk on the water, and was walking on the water. Got a little sketchy out there. He prayed. Amen. And he had power. He had faith. And it was all going well. Then out of nowhere come the wind and the waves. He got scared and he sank. Guess who he brought in the middle of it? He said, Lord, save me. Amen. Crystal's favorite prayer, three words. Lord, save me. Amen. And guess what Jesus did? He got over there right quick and saved him. Amen. Jesus knew before he saved him, he was going to have to save him. But he gave Peter a chance, amen, to experience something nobody else on earth have ever experienced. That's defying gravity and walking on water, right? Amen. What Jesus wanted to Peter to know and what he wants us to know, you know, you might be in a little trouble right now. But Keandra Lockett wrote a song about that. You want to hear it? Here it go. Trouble don't last always. Guess what? God give you trouble, amen, so he can show you how to handle trouble. God lets you go through storms, trials, and tribulations so you can learn how to handle trials and tribulations. And ain't it wonderful when you get past that thing you couldn't get past? Ain't it wonderful when you overcome that thing you thought you couldn't overcome? Ain't it wonderful when you do that thing you thought you couldn't do? That's one of the moments where you want to say, won't he do it?
Nobody's stopping the tide. They try to break me try to pick me up, but anger days is on my side. So bad I thought it would die. But ain't no power stronger than the one who came and laid down his life. And I got mountains to climb. But the enemy can't stop me, cause devil's calling on my life. So when I'm crying, don't last too long. So he gon' step in and make it alright. The greatest victory of my life. Cause when it comes at your best and hard, there's only one that can come and make it right. So ain't no need for stressing and crying, cause he gon' show up just like he did the last time. And the last time, and the last time. I know, I know, I know. Only do it. Yeah. Fight your battles for you, they gon' wonder how you sleep at night.
Thank you, Pastor, for those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged, which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who could be all I need. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following the selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own, the beautiful Princess Nedra Gaston, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet at the altar and prepare to receive Princess Nedra Gaston. Pray to the Lord.
Give me a mountain and I promise to move it. Show me a valley, I'll walk right through it. I ain't worried.
No matter what's wrong with me.
Give me a hurdle, I'll jump right over like a game of limbo.
show you a fight, cause I ain't worried, yeah. If I'm in trouble, you get me in order. Push me out the boat and I'll walk on water. I ain't worried, no, 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 no. Cause
everyone, let's go to the altar. Father God in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you for waking us up this morning and keeping your hands in our lives. Thank you for supplying all our needs and for everything you do for us. Lord, we are not perfect. Please forgive us of every sin we have committed, and we thank you for removing our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. Lord, we know you are the same God in Genesis 1, verses 1, that created the heaven and the earth. And in Isaiah 44, verses 24, when you said, I am the Lord who made all things. I alone stretched out the heavens. Who was with me when I made the earth? Lord, we know you are always in control. Lord, we thank you for giving our parents clear instructions on guiding us and our future. Psalm 127, verses 3 says, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. Proverbs 22, verses 6 says, to direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. But children, remember Ephesians 6, verses 2, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with the promise. Also remember 1 Timothy 4, verses 12. Do not let anyone think less of you because you are young. Be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, your faith, and your purity. Lord, we know your word will not come back to you void. Lord, I pray for all adults. Help them to see we are learning from the example they set for us. Proverbs 20, verses 11 says, even children are known by the way they act, whether their conduct is pure and whether it is right. The adult behaviors are guiding our behavior. Lord, I also pray for the youth. Father God, we will be returning to in-person learning for school this fall. Lord, help the Michigan Department of Education and local school leaders make the right decisions about our health and safety. Lord, help them to see that our lives matter beyond the school walls. For you have plans for us, plans for good and not for disaster, plans to give us a future and a hope. We ask you to protect our comings and goings. Lord, be a fence around us as we travel along the way. Lord, hear our prayers. Lord, in all our ways, we will acknowledge you. Psalm 63, verses 7 through 8. Because you are our helper, we sing for joy in the shadow of your wings. We cling to you. Your strong right hand holds us securely. Lord, we praise you in our happy moments. We seek you in our difficult moments. We worship you in our quiet moments. We trust you in our painful moments. And we thank you in every moment. Let all God's children say, Amen.
You wore my crown of thorns. You took my licks as they spit in your face. Off the cross of sin and you embraced. Now I understand what's the meaning of grace. I war against the flesh, can't wait till the day that you come. Cause every day I'm rewriting Psalm 51. From the weak to the dumb, you make us shine like pearls. Got a new engagement, broke up with that girl named World. The relationship wasn't fruitful, I was Satan's pupil. They told me you was an unfair God, I believe those lies. I know the truth now, cause you've been fair since creation. Man fell and then you gave man emancipation. I know the saying, one sin can make man fall. But with one drop of blood, he can save us all. I'm a living sacrifice, I lay my life upon the altar. I pray to have faith that don't forsake you like a martyr. I have a desire, that's to know you more. I have no choice to live holy, cause I see the Lord. Full of his glory, and the foundations of the threshold tremble at the voice of him who called out. While the temple was filled with smoke, I said to myself, woe is me, for I am ruined, because I'm a man with unclean lips, and I live amongst a people with unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one seraphim flew to me with burning coals in his hands. He touched me on my lips, said my iniquity is taken away and my sins forgiven. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send? Who will go for us? Then I said, here I am. Send me.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Queen Nedra, for praying and making our request known to God. All right, we are so far having a great time this morning. And I am truly enjoying the service, and I hope you are too, with more to come. And I want to thank the youth for that participated in our youth weekend service, and especially my two princesses, Alexandria Maynard and Nedra Gaston, and on yesterday, my two kings, graduating senior Malachi Freeman and Darius Freeman. And I just want to congratulate all the seniors all over the world. You know, we expect greatness wherever you are in this beautiful world, okay? And then I just want to say thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. As always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday, Sunday today, if you've been blessed by this Sunday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Sunday worship service is happening. Share the love, the joy, and the blessing. Amen. Okay, time for the preach word, a message from God. The best part, icing on the cake, the next voice you will hear to read scripture and prayer after the selection is our very own Sister Deaconess June Rogers. Let's prepare to receive Deaconess June Rogers as she comes in her own way with introduction. Amen.
like you love. Help me love others the way that you love me. Oh God, gonna forgive like you forgave and rescue like you have saved.
If you're anything like me, you were just sitting there and just basking in the love of God. And I know for a minute there, I was so caught up in basking in the love he has for me that I wasn't paying attention to the part of the pledge that we need to love others the way that he loves us. Yeah, we got to get that selfishness out of us. Well, I don't know about you, but I have really been blessed this morning by the youth, Alexandra and then Nedra, with that prayer, her telling us to remember to seek God in all things and all of our moments. And you know what? If we do that, it's going to bring us right back to love. And that is part of the subject that Pastor O is going to be preaching this morning. The title is Show Love and Prove Relationship. He has asked me to read from John chapter 13, verses 31 to 36, and I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. It is written, as soon as Judas left the room, Jesus said, the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory, and God will be glorified because of him. And since God receives glory because of the Son, he will give his own glory to the Son, and he will do so at once. Dear children, I will be with you only a little longer. And as I told the Jewish leaders, you will search for me, but you can't come where I'm going. So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Simon Peter asked, Lord, where are you going? And I kind of felt like I needed to say that in a perplexing way that I can only imagine that they felt. Lord, where are you going? This is the word of the Lord. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great word. The capacity to love and be loved is perhaps the greatest blessing that the Lord God has bestowed upon us. If we really love each other the way Jesus told and showed us to, we position ourselves for every single blessing that God promised. Through their love for us, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as one, set forth in motion the best gift of all, that is salvation, a gift that keeps giving, also permitted a special connection that we call relationship. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Connected this morning? Your tuning in is evidence that you took a step to be connected to us, your brothers and sisters in Christ. Now let us take that next step and get closer to the Lord. God has personally selected a messenger to deliver his precious word from the Gospel of John, chapter 13. Pastor O, where are you going with this sermon on showing love and proving relationship? I can't wait to hear what God told you to tell us. What about y'all out there? All right, then, repeat this after me. Pastor O, break it down for us.
Amen. Thank you. You know, Deaconess June Rogers, that you know, except you abide in me, you can't do anything. I think that is a great place to start. First, first abiding in him. And since we can't do anything unless we do, that also means we can do everything if we do. Thank you. Appreciate
you. Amen.
Oh, boy. Tell my boy Ray I said, what's up?
He's listening. God
bless. Amen. Amen. I just cannot thank God for all of the folks that he has brought to Running for Christ Ministries to help do what he wants to do through Running for Christ Ministries. It's not a pastor thing. Amen. Even though Jesus appoints pastors, it's a Running for Christ. It's a members of the body of Christ thing. And I cannot thank God enough for the awesome people, young, middle-aged, and senior, amen, that he has brought to Running for Christ Ministries to help me do what he told me back in 2002 to do. And he has done every single thing that he said he would do. And I am really confident about the things that he continues to show me. Amen. Because over these 18 years, he has done everything. Not something like he said he would, but exactly like he said he would. Not even a little bit off. Amen, but right on the point that he made to me a long time ago. So I thank God for my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and for all of you. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today. Praise your holy name. We thank you for this opportunity to once again consider in your word. And we pray, Heavenly Father, we don't just hear it, but we be doers. Because if we're just hearers, then that produces absolutely nothing. We want to be doers so that we get what you said we could have in your word. Bless us, Lord, in Jesus' name, to get this message and live it out. Amen. Amen. Repeat after me. Say, Lord, bless my ears so they hear your word today. And bless my heart so your word enters there today. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for the transformation process. And I'm here to be renewed by your word so I can always know your good, pleasing, and perfect will for my life. Amen. I was listening to a song and I heard the show and prove. Amen. And you know, it's just something that we say in the world, show and prove. And that's where the subject came from, except the Lord added to it, show love and prove relationship. Amen. Show love and prove relationship. Amen. We cannot fathom God's love for us. It's hard sometimes when we sin to forgive, to believe that God has actually forgiven us because he is ultra holy and righteous and filled with justice and righteousness. But he is also filled with loving kindness and mercy. And all of these attributes, moral attributes of God, if you will, are undergirded by love. God so loved the world. Amen. Adam and Eve messed it all up, but God loved them so much that he pursued them until they came back in. God loves. God is love. And God wants us to be like him. Amen. You know what I find amazing to me? Is how God can lavish his love on us. I think it says it over there in 1 John chapter 3 somewhere, that God has lavished his love on us. He didn't just give us love. He lavished his love on us. And we'll be taking a look at some other verses later. Amen. But in the verses that we just read, Jesus is about to leave the earth. He's told his disciples on three different occasions that he was going to be betrayed, he was going to be handed over to Gentiles, and he was going to be crucified, but he would rise up on the third day. And this conversation that he's having right here in chapter 13, as you heard Deacon Charles Tate say, the Bible really didn't have chapters and verses until, I believe, around 1581, when it was fully developed into chapters and verses. And they did that to make it easier to remember. That was the hope, that was the dream, that was the attempt, is to make the Bible easier for folks to remember. Because the people that in those days when they were doing that, they were an agrarian society, and they were like completely illiterate. They didn't read or write. They were an oral tradition society. And so it was important, amen, that they remembered. Amen. And so when the writers started writing, they figured, you know, they might not memorize a whole letter, but if you take the letter and compartmentalize it, then maybe they can work with that. And so that's how the Bible ended up with chapters and verses. Up until 1500, it wasn't like that. Actually, for 1,250 years, it was only in the Latin Vulgate, and only those who could afford a Bible and was an ordained priest would have one. The folk, the people, did not have it. They were told what the Bible said. So around the 1500s, people like William Tyndale, whose Bibles we use today, Life Application Bibles, right, he printed a thoroughly readable English Bible based on a Bible that was written by a man named Erasmus Rotterdam. The whole goal was so people could understand, read for themselves, be guided by the Holy Spirit, and live out the Word of God. So Jesus has told his disciples on three different occasions that he's going to the cross, going to be crucified, but on the third day he's going to rise from the grave. And so he begins this conversation with them that really goes all the way to chapter 17. It begins here in 13 and goes all the way to chapter 17. And if you read those chapters over and over, you will see his focus is on love. And one point in chapter 15, he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Amen? So everything's based on love. But the love that he is talking about here is when we love one another. It is easy to say that you're a child of God. I'm a child of God. Amen. You could train a little puppet doll to say that. Just pull the string. I'm a child of God. Amen. Amen. And, you know, to get saved, all you have to do is believe God's report, right, that Jesus died and was raised on the third day for our salvation, right? That's all you need to do is believe that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. That's the beginning. Now the Father invites us, amen, to be like him, to love others the same way that he loves us. See, Israel Houghton went through a hard life. His mother's white, I believe, and his father's black, so he's mixed race, amen. Father wanted him to be aborted. Mother decided not to do it. They ended up separated, the father and the mother. Israel, when he says, I was the one who was acquainted with homelessness, amen, living in the streets, that was me. He recognized that God's amazing grace, God's love, found him in that situation. And so when God had lavished that kind of love on him, he felt like it was incumbent upon him to do the same thing for other people. I will never understand how we can accept and receive God's love and yet won't give it, won't show it to nobody else. But we want Jesus to love us with his all. Amen. Love us enough to lay down his life for us. Jesus said, no greater love has any man than this, than he would lay down his life or her life for their brother or their sister. Greater love. Nobody has a love greater than somebody who is willing to sacrifice themselves for somebody else, put themselves out for somebody else. That's real love. Oh, it's easy to do stuff for people who going to do stuff for you, do stuff for people who going to pay you back, people who going to treat you right, and all of that. Okay, that's easy. That's nothing. Anybody. Jesus said, loan money to people who can't pay you back. Show me your love. Amen. And I'll show you relationship. You see, our love for other people demonstrates that we have a relationship with God. And the Lord set the bar. Not you, not me, not them. But the Lord Jesus said, when you show love to somebody else other than you, other than people who, amen, you like, but when you show love to others, whoever they might be, if they white, you know, today we having problems with these things that's happening to black folks who are getting killed or seemingly for no reason at all, but can you love white folks? Or do you feel like somehow you're justified in hating them? Don't you know that God is justified if he wanted to hate all of us? It ain't like after we get saved, we don't still keep on sinning. But he loves us in spite of us. Tasha Page Lockhart, Leonard, they have so many names, I can't remember. But anyway, she wrote a song, He Loves Me in Spite of Me. And we all know that. We all know us. If nobody else knows us, we know us. And a God who is absolutely holy, perfect, righteous, and just loves us. And then he tells us to love others the same way that he loves us. And when we do that, we demonstrate. See, a whole lot of people talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. They say they love God. They say they love people, but they don't demonstrate it. Jesus said in another place, how can you see your brother or sister in need and say, be warm, I think that's in James, be warmed and filled, but do nothing about it? I think John's gospel or in his epistles, John says, if you see a brother or sister in need, now watch this, and you have what they need, but you don't give it to them. Watch this, though. He says, how can the love of God be in that person? Now look, it ain't talking about you not saved. It's just talking about you a little bit unappreciative. Amen. It's talking about you taking God for granted. You want God to love you with all the love in him, but you don't want to love others. Jesus talked about that. Peter came up to Jesus one day, and he was trying to be magnanimous, right? He knew the Pharisees taught that you really forgive a person three times, then you don't have to forgive them no more. That's what they taught. So he come to Jesus, and he said, how many times shall I forgive my brother when they sin against me? He said, Peter said, up to seven times. He was trying to be magnanimous, right? Seven times, when he knew the Pharisees only taught three. Thought he was going to impress Jesus. Jesus told him 70 times 7, 490 times for the same sin in the same day. That's how much you love them. That's how often you forgive them. Now, come on now. It's not easy trying to be like God our Father. But that's the goal of our whole life, right? More of him, less of me. Amen. Let the Father dwell richly in you. And when he does, guess what? You love. You love people you don't like. Amen. You love people that ain't even saved. Jesus said over there in Galatians 6 and 10, he says, as often as you have opportunity, show love to those who are inside the body of Christ and those who are on the outside. But we're so judgmental. We can't love him. We act like Jesus gave us permission to not love somebody. I'm going to say it again. How can you expect God to love you? Amen. With all the love that is in him. And then you turn right around, like Jesus talked about over there in Matthew chapter 18. This man owed $1 million, couldn't pay it. The man he owed just straight forgave him, let it go. Then he went out and found somebody who owed him $1,000 who could over time pay it. But he didn't give him a chance to pay it. He called the folks to throw him in debtor's prison and let him stay there until the debt was paid. Then somebody went and told on him, you better watch out, angels go tell. When God knows that he has loved you like God loves you, and then God finds out that you, me, us, got somebody locked up in our prison of unforgiveness. We ain't showing them no love because of what they – do you know what you did to God with your sins? And don't try to blame Adam, talking about Adam, I'm like this because, no, you sin the sins you sin when you think inside. Jesus said over in John and James, I believe it's in chapter 2, let us not say that when we are tempted, that we are tempted of God. No, here's what happens. We are enticed. We are drawn away by what? Our own lust, not Adam's, not Eve's. And yet God woke you up this morning. You will tell somebody, I'm so thankful to the Lord. He reached down this mountain and from heaven and touched me with a finger of love. Amen. But you won't touch your kids with a finger of love. You won't touch your husband or wife with a finger of love. Amen. Amen. The Lord wants us to be like him, not them. We all trying to be like some pastor. We all trying to be like some bishop. We all trying to be like some priest somewhere. No, be like Jesus. Love the people who put you on the cross. When Jesus was on the cross, he asked his Father to forgive them because they, now that's love. They put him up there for not having committed any kind of crime. And what did he say? Forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. You say, but that was Jesus. Well, go find Stephen over there in Acts chapter 7. They stoned this boy for what? Loving God and serving God. So he got stoned. But just before they killed him, Jesus stood up in heaven. Why? Because he knew that Stephen had something to say. Guess what Stephen said? He didn't say, Lord, wipe these people out. Rain down lightning bolts from heaven. Rain down a whole bunch of syrup and make them all stick to the ground. He didn't say nothing like that. You know what he said? Forgive them. And do not hold this sin against them. And they were stoning him. See, God wants us to love like he loves. There is no excuse, my brother. You cannot go to the Lord, go before the Lord, and come up with an excuse why you don't love them. Some Christians, I'm going to say it, Jesus, you want me to say it, I'm going to say it. Some Christians so crazy, they willing to give up so they can not love somebody. Don't you know that God withholds his love from you? The Lord said over in Matthew 18 again, he said, unless you forgive men from your heart when they sin against you, then neither will your Father in heaven forgive you when you sin against him. You know what that means? I had to ask Reverend Earl M. Brown, my pastor, what does that mean? He says, you know that guilt, that condemnation that you're feeling, that conviction you're feeling when you sin? I say, yeah. He said, you don't get that. That don't go away. Amen. Hey, man, you get to hold on to that. How dare you think that God's going to comfort you in your sin when you won't forgive somebody else of their sin? Come on now, show some love and show some relationship. Isn't it awesome how God said, you can tell people you my child. You can tell people you belong to me. Judas belonged to God. He ain't had no love, and he ain't had no relationship. Went straight to hell. Listen, Christian. Don't fake too long in front of God. Get real. See, God knows your heart. Lord says out of the heart proceeds all these adulteries. That's not love. Murders, that's not love. Thefts, that's not love. And all the rest of that, that's not love. God looks at your heart and he sees that you have hatred in your heart, unforgiveness in your heart for your brother or sister in Christ. I'm giving you a new commandment. Now, you ask yourself in verse 34, you say, I'm giving you a new commandment. God been told us to love each other. What do you mean new commandment? For real? You know, we've been reading in Romans chapter 12. You know that part in Romans chapter 12 where it literally says, you know what it says? Don't just pretend to love others. See, God knows when you're pretending to love somebody. Don't just pretend to love. See, we love to fake in front of people and people say, oh, they're just such loving people. But God knows you're a fake. God knows you're a phony. God knows you don't love like he loves. And again, dare you think God should love you like God loves, but you don't return it to nobody. Just you. It's always about your prayers demonstrate how much you love others. How many others are in your prayers? Or is it just you? Amen. Everything that we do tells God how we love others. Do you love your boss? Then why you trash talk them all the time? Oh, do you love your wife? Do you love your husband? Do you love your kids? You know what Jesus think about parents? I ain't going to tell you. But you know what Jesus think about parents who will not teach their kids the word of God, but say they love God, love their kids, but won't tell them about Jesus, make them go to school, but allow them to decide whether they want to be in church and Sunday school or not, or Bible class. Won't even teach your child, who you say you love, the Bible. Oh, yeah, love is deep. And if you're going to love like God loves, if you're going to show and prove, if you're going to show love to prove relationship, it's not going to be easy. You think it was easy for Jesus to come into this world to show love? You think it was easy for Stephen to be under the stones showing love? Love is action, y'all. Love ain't no emotion or no feelings. Love is action. Love is what you do. Jesus said, no greater love has any man than this, that they feel or they think. No, Jesus said, no greater love has any man than this, that they lay down their life for their brother or sister. Love is action. Amen? And that action is, look, this is how God made us. This is how we work. Amen. Body, soul, and spirit. It starts on the inside and shows up on the outside. Jesus says, out of the heart proceed. So what's in your heart? That's what's coming out. All you want to know what somebody really like? Just stand around and talk with them for a little while, and you will see exactly what they're like. Because God has fixed us in such a way that we cannot help but to be ourselves, no matter how fake we try to act. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So I listen to people when they speak, and that tells me what's in their heart. I listen to people how they talk about other people. It's all right to talk about other people that you have gone to talk to about that issue. But if you're talking to somebody else who's not that somebody with the issue, then you just talking. If I want to tell you something, you ain't Jesus, you ain't God, you ain't got no heaven or hell. God told me don't fear man, but rather fear God who got a heaven and hell that he can throw you in. You don't have that, so you don't scare me. If I want to come up to you and tell you something, I'm telling you out of love. I'm going to say it in love, though. Amen, but I'm going to say it. Amen. My wife and I learned a long time ago that if you're going to love like Jesus loved, when we see he had us helping people, and it is not easy. One year we gave away 71 whole Thanksgiving dinners. I mean, not just the turkey, the whole box and everything. But do you know we had to deliver 71 of those boxes to those people? I thought, you know, they would appreciate it enough to come and get it. But they didn't. And so Jesus said, oh, you don't really love. Because if you loved them, you'd take it to them. Like I left heaven and came into the world. So we took it to them. And we did it again the next year. And we took it to them. Amen. We had clothing giveaways. The people came and got all the clothes they want. Some folks got mad that nobody was coming to join the church. Nobody was, amen, doing this, that, or the other. But all Jesus wanted to do was give somebody some clothes. When Jesus fed the 5,000, he ain't asked them to join his church. He ain't asked them to come out to Bible class. He fed them because they were hungry. That kind of kindness that he showed. There was a lady over in the book of Acts. Her name was Dorcas, chapter 9. Her name was Tabitha. They called her Tabitha. She was a disciple. That means she was a follower of Christ. See, every Christian ain't no disciple. Uh-oh, watch out. You're getting in trouble, Pastor. Every Christian ain't no disciple. They just saved. A disciple is a follower of Christ. Now, she showed love and demonstrated her relationship. Guess what? She died. even though the Bible says she was always helping people and doing good. And then about that time, she died. Guess what, though? The people that she had shown love to, amen, to demonstrate she had a relationship with God, they ran 7 miles to a town to get Peter and brought him back to Joppa where she lived. And when Peter got there, guess what happened? They ran up to her. It reminded me of what Jesus said in Luke 16:9. He says, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so when it's gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Amen? Well, guess what they said? They said, Peter, like what? Look at this coat Dorcas made me. They said, Peter, what? Look at, now notice they didn't say, look at what she taught me. Look at what she said to me in church. No, they came and showed all of her acts of kindness toward them. Amen. Showed love and proved relationship. Only when we literally show, now look, you can't, God wants you to give. Amen. He wants you to show love for real. Because God know fake when he see it. Dorcas was for real. And when she died, was written over there in Luke 16:9, she used her worldly wealth to gain friends for, and let me tell you something, she was well off. She had to be a Greek woman because she owned her own property. Hebrews couldn't even own property, amen. So she owned her own property, and she had her own house. And guess what? Her house was so big, she had an upper room. Most of those houses were just utility houses. They had one, it was a square box, and had one room, and that room was everything. And the men would go up on the roof at night to sleep up on the roof. Well, guess what? They had her home going at her house. They washed her and laid her in her upper room. So she had a two-story house. Amen. She was rich, but she was like that man over there in Acts chapter 10. He did such good things, good works. They wasn't enough to save him, but his name is Cornelius. He had done such good works that God recognized it. Does God recognize the love that you show to other people? Does God brag about you to the angels, to Jesus? Or is it just about you? And you don't show no love. You just want God to love you. And you run around talking about how God loves you, but you don't have nothing to say when it comes to you loving somebody else. Amen. Go with me real quick, because I'm out of time. Go with me over to John chapter 3. And I just want 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. You might get this later. I'm already there, so you might get it later. But anyway, when you get a chance, go to John chapter 3. You're going to find these words. If we love our brothers and sisters, we are believers. It proves that we've passed from death to life. But a person who has no love is still dead. Anyone who hates another brother or sister is really a murderer at heart. And you know that murderers don't have eternal life within them. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us, so we ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, just judgment, get a job. I don't know why you ain't blessed like I am. I don't know why you don't have as much as I do. What if Jesus said that with the 2 fish and 5 loaves? Saw all those people in need and did nothing. And he, Jesus. How can God's love be in that person? Again, it's not John's writing to saved people. He's writing to saved people. The challenge, how can God's love be in that person? Why is that question asked? Because they have what people need and they won't give it to them. All they give them is judgment about why they're not giving it to them. Thank you. Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Come on, somebody. I'm sorry about that. I'm been here beating up everything. Amen. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth, so we will be confident when we stand before God. Guess what? Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. You go over there and read 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and read verse 10. Everybody, every one of us shall appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and guess what? We're going to give an account of the deeds done in this body. Notice the word is deeds, not works. See, unsaved folks like the man I told you about, Cornelius, they do good works. Bill Gates and them, they do good works, okay? But only Christians do good deeds. We do good deeds because we're saved. They do good works to be recognized by God. They be recognized by the world. Everybody say they did good. But guess what? Cornelius did a lot of good works for people, and God recognized he did a lot of good works for people. But he had to hear the word from Peter to get saved. Good works won't save you. But once you get saved, it ought to produce deeds. That's what James talks about in his book. What about your deeds? Show me your deeds, and I'll show you your faith. If you ain't got no deeds, you ain't got no faith. You just got words without actions. Amen? Now, let's take a quick trip right over to the next chapter, chapter 4, and I'm going to read you some more. It says, dear friends, let us continue. Uh-oh. Now, the thought must be that some folks can make you not want to love them no more. Some folks can make you not want to see them no more. And we've adopted this little fake saying, I love you from a distance. Well, what if Jesus loved us from a distance? Amen? No, God wants us. We have the capacity. The Lord is not asking us to do something that we cannot do. Unless you think God done went crazy. You think Jesus done lost his mind? And he's saying, you, me, us, children of God, do something that you can't do. Love others like I love you. Dear friends, let us continue. That means that we're going to have to fight to keep on loving people, but we got to keep on loving them, and we got to do it for real. Let me tell you something. Stop wondering what people think about you. Understand that God is the one that you should be wondering what he thinks about you, because he knows if you love somebody for real or not. Look, hey, you probably won't get perfect at it in this life, but fake it till you make it. Amen? Don't wait till you really, 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 really love people. Start working on learning how to really, really, really love people by doing things for folks. Paul said it's far better to give than to receive. But unloving folks love to receive. Every time you see them, they got their hand out. But you don't never see them giving a hand out to nobody. They just receive from people. But they don't give nobody nothing. You know, my wife and I decided we wasn't going to give. Well, she decided, because she didn't want to do all that, that wasn't going to be no more gifts because COVID. I ain't running around in them stores looking for nothing. We just going to give people money in the form of gift cards or whatever. Amen. And then I noticed something. Every time we gave away some money, it came back more. And so I got concerned about that. I said, Lord, you have us giving these things to people, but you keep giving it back. He said, well, I'm not going and taking it from the people you gave it to. I'm just giving you back this much so you can give to others. So we did it. I don't want to say no numbers, but I am, because he want me to. We gave $150 out over what we had because I was trying to be God-given. So I said, we need to find some more people to give to. We found something to give to. Then my sister messed it all up. She sent a gift over here that replaced that gift. Amen. She's a giver, too. Amen. And my other sister and my brothers, they're all the same. It's hard to, amen. But Jesus said, find somebody who in need. Amen. We love to give to people who are in greed, but not people who are in need. Did you get that? Listen to what Jesus said. Let us continue to love one another as I come to a close, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. Do you know God? Are you a child of God? Well, then you're loving. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Oh, that is so plain. I ain't got to say nothing. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that he might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sin. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God loves them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment when we have to stand before Jesus and give an account of the deeds done in his body, whether good or bad, to receive rewards or not. But we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in the world. And y'all know they tried to kill him every day, but he ain't stopped loving. He continued in love. Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. And if we're afraid, it's a fear of punishment for not loving. And this shows that we've not fully expressed his perfect love. We love each other because he loved us first. If someone says, I love God, but hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar. And if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? And he has given us this command as I come to a close. Those who love God must also love their fellow believers. And remember, your pastor is not your judge. Amen. Your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is looking at you to see if you love for real or if you're just fake. Listen, brothers and sisters, don't get mad. Get glad and start loving. Show love and prove relationship. All right, Crystal, take it away. I ain't through.
Oh, Jesus.
But baby Holy
Lord,
Ghost might come in here
quit.
With a frying pan next, and I don't want to go through that. Amen.
Oh, my God. Lord have mercy. I'm sitting right here holding this scripture, and I'm like, wait a minute. That sounds familiar. Hold on a second, Holy Spirit. I feel like I've been convicted on this lots and lots and lots of times. So I went straight to the word, and I went, you were reading it. You read it. I'm holding my phone, like, as soon as Pastor opens my mic, I'm going to read this. And you just read it. And 1 John chapter 4, the Message version for me is like, it just lights up so bright for me. And I just want to read the Message version of 1 John chapter 4, verses 20 through 21. It says, if anyone boasts, I love God, and goes right on hating his brother or sister, thinking nothing of it, he is a liar. If he won't love the person he can see, how can he love the God he can't see? The command we have from Christ is blunt. Loving God includes loving people. You've got to love both. Now, the Holy Spirit has truly convicted me on this before because I'll be the first to admit I'm not a lover of people. I never really, really have been. And it really just was brought to my attention maybe a couple weeks ago. The Holy Spirit made it clear. It's not that you don't love the people. You just don't love the things that they do. And I said, whew, okay, Jesus, that makes it better because I don't want to be no liar. I don't want to say I love you and know that I don't like this, that, or the other person. But it's not the person. It's the things that they do. And then what that does is it makes the ground in front of the cross, it makes it level because at the end of the day, I'm a person just like everybody else. And there are things about me that people are not going to love. But because we can all confess our sins to Christ, because none of us are perfect, it makes us all equal. It makes us all even. So this message today rang so loud and so true for me because we have got to love one another. This world makes it very easy for us to not love each other. It's easy to love people who are lovable. It is very hard to love people who are not. But guess what? None of us are lovable. I mean, if you're looking at it through God's eyes, every single thing that we do and did and could ever do was horrible and it was against him. But he loved us anyway. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only son. Ain't nobody giving up nothing for nobody these days but Jesus. I mean, he came for us. God gave us his son so that we could all love one another like Christ loved us. And so your message today, absolutely amazing. You get like one of those, like, that's like a platinum star message. Like yesterday we had Janine's platinum message. Like today, this was huge. We will never be able to move forward if we don't realize that we have to love one another the way God loves us. When we ask for forgiveness, we have to give that. Exactly what we're asking for from people is what we have to give. People say you got to give respect to get respect. Well, you got to give love to get love. You got to give forgiveness to get forgiveness. And it's not about, you know, we have to show the love of God. Jesus ain't walking this earth on his own, but he is in each and every one of us who has the Holy Spirit in us. And so we have to show love to one another. It's imperative. How can we move forward if we can't love? So this was huge for me. This Lord Jesus, this service.
It affected me, and I'm going to quit. I'm going to quit and turn it over to you. But it got me because, see, I was a drug dealer. And the Lord told me a drug dealer is worse than a drug user. He says because a user is just trying to get high. They're trying to either deal with a situation on the inside that they don't know how to deal with. So they feel like they just medicate this way. He said, but a drug dealer will do anything for money. A drug dealer will sell to their family, will sell to young folks, sell to old folks, will make fathers. Become horrible fathers, will make mothers become horrible mothers, will cause kids to be abandoned by their parents. And he says, so I'm going to have to teach you how to love people more than that. And after Jesus said that to me, now filled with the Holy Spirit because I was saved, and it just hit me like a ton of bricks. He said, how can you say you love people? One time, Crystal, and I'm going to quit with this one. This is where he really messed me up with, because I used to love to be with girls, right? And Jesus said, how can you tell her you love her and cause her to sin against me to satisfy your lust?
Lord.
Yeah,
Jesus.
That kind of question kind of makes the room get real quiet. You know, you're both you look down at your shoes, they both left.
Lord.
That messed me all the way up.
When it gets put into perspective and you align yourself with what the Lord is, I mean, when you realize your sin and you realize where you're at and then you realize what the Word of God says and how far away from it you actually are, it really puts it into perspective. But luckily, we don't have to tarry for the Holy Spirit or whatever they say. Like, all you got to do is accept Christ. Ain't nobody got to fight. We ain't got to stand in line for the Holy Spirit. We ain't got to worry about how much Holy Spirit this person got versus what I got. It's not a competition. All you got to do is accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you got an equal amount of the Holy Spirit. Now, how much you listen to him is on you. You know, but when we realize how far away we are from the Word of God sometimes, it's like, ooh, Lord, I am so sorry. You know what I'm saying? And like you said, how can you ask somebody to sin against the Lord when you say that you love the Lord? Yeah, that's powerful. It's just, we can go on and on and on about this thing. It's real, real deep. So I'm going to read these announcements before I keep telling on myself because I ain't got to the point where I'm that transparent yet like you. So I just got to read my announcements before I tell all my business. Lord have mercy. Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Sunday. Of course, to all of our Blog Talk listeners, new and old, who tuned in this morning to our Sunday morning worship service, we hope that you had a wonderful time in Christ this morning. And we're so glad that you were here with us. We always want to acknowledge our wonderful pastors and shepherds at Runs for Christ Ministries, Pastor O, Pastor Janice, excuse me, Pastor Jonathan, Pastor Terrence, Pastor Janine, excuse me, Minister John McFall. If you guys did not listen to yesterday's service with Minister Janine, please do. It was entitled Decisions, Decisions. Okay. If you didn't listen to that, please go back and listen to that. It was amazing. Amen. Amen. So Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 15 says, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. And so we thank you, Pastor O, for being that messenger of good news today, teaching us and preaching to us the word of God, and not to just us at Run for Christ Ministries, but because of the Blog Talk Radio platform that God has put in place, people all over the world who we never even thought would be hearing the word of God are able to do so. Amen. Amen. So what a blessing. Just a couple of reminders. Bible reading class is held on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Deacon Brother Dr. Charles McMahon. Charles Mackey will be teaching First Chronicles chapters 20 through 29, or as far as we can get through the questions. If we can't get through them all, then of course he'll be back the following week. If we can get through them all, then we will be done with First Chronicles. So the questions have been emailed, and they are available online for you to access. Just go to our church website, rfcm.org, under Bible classes, and you will find them there. Also, every Tuesday at 4 p.m., Reverend Richard Overall is here on Blog Talk Radio, teaching and preaching in his series Training Day. So set yourself a reminder each week to tune in at 4 o'clock every Tuesday. If you're not listening, you're missing out. Powerful, powerful word that he brings. He's teaching, but he's preaching at the same time. So it's really a wonderful thing. So if you're not tuning in, please do every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Amen? Amen. So the fourth Wednesday of every month from now until November, beginning at 10:30, you know, for the most part, was set up. First Fruit Living Ministries, Minister Shelley, Pastor O, as well as anyone else who wants to join in, is out at the bus stop in front of Run for Christ Ministries, praying with people, rededicating and restoring people back to and back in Christ, giving out Bibles and lunches, having conversations, you know, with those who need it. So if you're able to make it out on the fourth Wednesday of every month, please do so. Amen. Amen. So, y'all, we got a new announcement. So very excited to say this. I wish I could have been in the room yesterday when Pastor O actually announced this. He probably was like a kid in a candy store jumping around, and you could just hear the excitement with which he announced this yesterday. So I'm going to try to give it the very same energy that he gave it yesterday. But our very own Deaconess Kathy Clyburn, Deaconess Cat, our presiding person, will be launching her very own blog talk radio show entitled Back to the Family, Focus on the Youth. Amen. What a blessing. So Back to the Family will discuss the deteriorating condition of the family today and explore biblical solutions to bring the family back to God's intended purpose for family in the beginning. Amen. So we are so excited to hear about this. The first show will launch on Saturday, June 19th at 4 p.m. The topic of discussion will be an introduction to Back to the Family. All right. And so the second show will continue on Sunday, June 20th at 4 p.m. with Father's Day, and the topic of discussion on that day will be celebrating fathers and their importance. So what a way to start this show. When you talk about the order of God, we know that the man comes right under the authority of God, because if you are not under the authority of God, you're actually not a man, but you're a male. So fathers are very important, and so she's going to be starting off speaking about fathers. So again, the show is scheduled to launch on Saturday, June 19th at 4 p.m. And again, the topic of discussion is just an introduction to Back to the Family. And the second show will continue on Sunday, June 20th, which is Father's Day, at 4 p.m. And speaking about celebrating fathers and their importance. Amen. So we are so excited for this, and we congratulate Kathy on this accomplishment. And Run for Christ Ministries family, y'all know what to do. Let's be supportive of our sister in Christ and make sure to tune in. The link to the show is listed already on our church website. Just go to rfcm.org, and it is listed under Christian Resources. Amen. So set yourself a reminder for June 19th at 4 p.m. as well as June 20th at 4 p.m. so that we can celebrate and just acknowledge Kat and this huge decision that she has chosen to make. We know that God has put this in place, and so we are here to celebrate with her, and we congratulate her on this huge step, because we know Blog Talk Radio is not easy. Amen? Amen. So let's be supportive. Amen? Amen. So also, as a new announcement, there will be a Zoom meeting on Tuesday, this Tuesday, June 1st, at 6 p.m. The topic is Run for Christ Ministries Back to Church Meeting. Amen. So please set yourself a reminder to attend. Pastor has already sent the Zoom invitation, so make sure to check your email and be in attendance on June 1st at 6 p.m. Amen. Amen. So as a reminder, all of our classes and our services here on Blog Talk Radio are recorded, archived, and free. Just visit, of course, rfcm.org, click on the Blog Talk Radio tab, and you'll have access to all of our classes and services, again, all for free, 24/7, 365. Download them and make sure to share them with others. Amen? Amen. So if you would like to bless us at Run for Christ Ministries with a free will love offering, if you're a member and you want to pay your tithes or give any additional offerings towards any of our outreach ministries that we support, then please visit the church website, again, rfcm.org. You'll find all the information there about our outreach ministries as well as where and how to give your tithes and any offerings. Amen? Amen. So in addition to this, if you want to give a love offering for Pastor O, who brought us the word today, please visit his website, PastorGMO.com. That's Pastor God's My Owner, GMO.com, and send your love offering to Pastor O via his website. Amen? Amen. So we know that prayer is simply talking to God, and it's essential to bringing heaven down to earth. John 15:5 says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. We have been commanded to seek the Lord in all that we do, and he promised to be with us at all times. Therefore, it's our responsibility to unite as one in the body of Christ, serving in the purpose that God has created for us. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18 says, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so we ask that you pray for those who are sick, those who are shut in, as well as one another. And don't forget to pray for yourself as well. Pray for our children. We know it's graduation season. We know it's prom season, going into the summertime. So just make sure that you keep our kids lifted up in prayer, our nation, our world, all of our leaders on every level, the many who are missing and exploited, those who are being trafficked and abused, as well as all of our brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world who are persecuted for their belief and their service to the Lord. Amen. So special prayers also go out to all of our mothers at Run for Christ Ministries, Mother Cheryl, Mother Louisa, Mother Irma, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Persia, as well as Tyrone Hamilton and Pastor John Mack. Amen. Pray for all those who are spiritually lost and confused, remembering what we're here for. Acts 1:8 tells us, which, you know, says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, which is your household in today's time, Judea, which is your community in today's time, Samaria, which is outside of your community, outside your comfort zone, the places where you would normally really go, and to the ends of the earth. And those are places that you never thought you'd go, never thought that they even existed, but they need the word of God too, and it's our job to spread the gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ so that no souls are left behind. Amen. Amen. So Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Matthew 5:4 says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. And 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says, but let us not mourn as those who have no hope. Revelation 21:4 says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. All these things are gone away forever. So when you are sad or you're brokenhearted over the loss of a friend or a loved one, or even with the loss that we see, hear, read about all over the world, use these scriptures as well as many others to give you strength and encouragement that only the word of God can give you. Amen. So with that, we ask that you please continue to keep those who are bereaved and hurting in your thoughts and prayers. And as always, we pray God's comfort, healing, love, and peace upon you. So one of the ways that God meets our needs for companionship is through the church. When we trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior, we become not only one with him, but with every other believer. The church is called the body of Christ, and one of its purposes is to meet our need for person-to-person connection. A spiritual body works much like a human one. Parts are both independent and interdependent, each needing others in order to function well. And so to be spiritually and emotionally healthy, we all need support from our brothers and sisters in Christ. In his letter to the Ephesian church, Paul emphasizes Christ-like character qualities that make this possible: humility, gentleness, patience, tolerance, and love. He also admonishes or urges believers to accept one another, and that's Romans 15, verse 7, and to bear each other's burdens. And that's Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. So you see, we are all part of the body of Christ, and we need each other. We need each other in order to become our true selves and to bring God glory through the church. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, Jesus said, if you have love for one another. That's John chapter 13, verse 35. We're a family, after all, family that spans the entire earth. Amen? Amen. So Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16 says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Blessings are not always in the form of money or things. A smile or a kind word goes a long way, and the gift of love is free. So take time out to be a ray of sunshine to somebody today, because as Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 and 2 says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, you may have entertained angels without even knowing it. Amen? Amen. And to our Running for Christ Ministries family, we know we are not together physically. Potentially might be changing soon, but we are and we always have been together in spirit. And as the Lord says in Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 through 20, I also tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among them. And so we know that more than two or three filled with the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ have come together this morning. So we thank God in advance for our answered prayers. Amen? Amen. So your devotional for today is entitled, God's Spirit is Working in You. And this is by Pastor Rick Warren. God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. And that's Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. It's the Holy Spirit's job to produce Christ-like character in you. The Bible says the Lord makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. This process of changing you to be more like Jesus is called sanctification. You can't reproduce the character of Jesus in your own strength. New Year's resolutions, willpower, and the best intentions are not enough. Only the Holy Spirit has the power to make the changes God wants to make in your life. The Bible says God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Again, that's Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Mention the power of the Holy Spirit, and many people think of miraculous demonstrations or intense emotions. But usually the Holy Spirit releases his power in your life in quiet, unassuming ways that you aren't even aware of. He often nudges you with a gentle whisper, and that's 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 12. Christ's likeness is not produced by imitation, but by inhabitation, by allowing Christ to live in and through you. The Bible says this is the secret. Christ lives in you. That's Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. But how does this happen in real life? Through the choices you make. Choose to do the right thing. Then trust God's Spirit to give you the power, love, faith, and wisdom to follow through. Since God's Spirit lives inside you, these things are always available for the asking. So I ask you to challenge yourself and answer these questions. Why do you think God allows you to choose whether or not you respond to the Holy Spirit moving in your life? If the Holy Spirit often works in quiet, unassuming ways, what can you do to become more sensitive to his work in your life? So spend a few minutes praying for God to make you more aware of the Holy Spirit. Ask him to work in you and make you more like Jesus. Ask him to take away your fear and give you boldness to fulfill your purpose through the power of God's Holy Spirit, remembering to love others the same way the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit love us. Amen. And a big congratulations is being sent to our own Malachi Freeman as he graduates from Ecorse High School, class of 2021, on June the 16th. Amen. He is a son of the beautiful Keila Freeman. We hear her come on, and she does responsive reading. And so we know that Malachi will go out and go on to do great things, and we are so very proud of him. And so, again, we say congratulations to him. Amen. Amen. And those are your announcements. Oh, you're welcome. Love you, too.
Amen. Amen. And it's good to be able to say that, and Jesus don't be like, fake, liar. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Liar.
Sometimes he's just trying to show us where we really are so he can bring us yes. to the place that we need to be.
Amen.
Like one time I was talking to somebody, and they said, I love the Lord. Jesus was like, oh, I didn't know that. Anyway,
yes,
Crystal.
See? Amen.
God bless you.
Work on that.
Love you
Amen. Love you too.
Amen. Hey, you don't have to. Jesus knows that we're not him. Jesus knows that we're not him. But we're becoming Christ-like in every way. He's working on us. Philippians 1:6, right? He is working on us. So he knows right now we might not be showing a lot of love that proves that we're in real relationship with him, but he knows it. And so he's working on us. He's patient with us. He's giving us time. But if you want to upset Jesus, not love somebody. If you want to upset Jesus, put your mouth on somebody that he went to the cross for. Think about it. Think about the passion. Jesus suffered all of that for the person you hate, for the person you talk about, for the persons whose name you ride in the ground. He see and hear all of that. He don't just see and hear when we want him to. He see and hear all the time. And most of all, show him some love by letting him rule over your personal life, your family life, your church life, and your civic life. Bring your whole life under the comprehensive will of God. And that'll show God that you love him. Amen, because he loves us. I want to thank God. I give thanks to God for, amen, Deaconess Kathy Clyburn, our presiding person, also the person who gathers up all these people to do everything. I cannot thank God enough for her. And I'm really thanking God for, amen, lifting her up and giving her her own ministry. Amen. Amen. It's just a natural, though. If you know her, it's a natural. Thank God for my brother, Dr. I call him T-Cell. Amen. His name is Charles Tate, chairman of the Deacon Board, Charles Tate, for that awesome class, that awesome work done on 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and we still got more to go. For my niece, amen, Alex, amen, Maynor. It was so refreshing to hear her voice. But, you know, when you hear these young people on here, especially Queen Nedra Gaston, all of these people, when you hear them on there, you look to their parents. When you hear Darius or Darius and Malachi, Darius was a king and Malachi was a prophet. But their mother was on here just last week, amen, And so, like Deacon Charles Tay say, the little fellow was following him with his lawnmower. Her sons are following her doing the same thing she's doing. That's what's called setting an example. Amen. So I thank God for Kat. That's what we call her. Amen. For Dr. Charles Tate and for my niece Alex and for Queen Nedra. Amen. And Nico Gass. And you hear her doing altar call and her daughter doing the same thing. Amen. Awesome stuff. Jesus get real happy about that. You lead your kids to Christ. Amen. And Jesus is ecstatic with you. Amen. So this week, the Lord is going to challenge you. He's going to give you opportunities to love. But listen, don't think you're going to recognize it when it happens. You will only recognize it after you pass or fail the test. Amen. They don't grade the paper before you hand it in, right, or take the test. So if you're going to take the test, then Jesus is going to let you know if you passed or failed. And he knows how to talk to you. Amen. So he'll let you know. So look for this week to be tested on love. You're going to have to love. But again, don't think you're going to see it when the test appears. You won't know it until the test is over. Amen. Be safe on tomorrow, Memorial Day, as we still are dealing with the pandemic. So if you double vaxxed, be nice to the people who ain't vaccinated yet. You can't be hurt, but you can tell them to COVID-rings, amen? So, amen. Remember that. If you're double vaxxed up, or you're JJ single vaxxed up, right, fully vaccinated, amen, consider the people who are not, amen? They can't hurt you, but you can hurt them because you could be backed up like them Yankees and not even know it. Amen. Had a virus and not even know it because you backed up. But they not, and you could pass it to them. So be considerate. Eat too much, then work out on Tuesday and burn it all down. May the love of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with us and through our hearts. Till we meet again. I couldn't think of a better song than the one the Holy Spirit has picked to close with. See you when we see you.